Chapter 13, Homework. Fourth grader Jocelyn had always been developmentally behind her peers in most areas, but with her mother's diligent effort to get effective services, she had caught up about a year ago. Although a competent reader and speller, conceptualizing and comprehending does not come easily. Getting it done, not getting it right, is Jocelyn's motto. She's usually a B-minus C student, but gets her share of D's. She claims she will do better next time, but when next time comes, she insists she doesn't care about grades. Homework time is a nightmare for Harriet, her single mother. "I'm not a slave driver," she said, "but I go ballistic when I hear her say, 'I don't care.'" How is the behavior intended for success? Anyone would think that Jocelyn doesn't care about being successful. She makes up answers just to get homework done and shows no concern if it's not finished. But Jocelyn's attitude is a cover-up for insecurity, her obstacle, that she expresses as indifference. Inferiority equals failure to Jocelyn. Her "I don't care" approach may be her best effort toward success in a realm where she can barely keep her head above water. Little children are sponges for learning. "What's that?" and "Why?" make up much of a toddler's vocabulary. Exhausted parents can't teach them enough. But when learning becomes mandatory and formatted, some children don't fit the format, and enthusiasm dries up. Jocelyn has lost almost all of hers. But Harriet must keep her focus on Jocelyn's innate desire to learn and do well that lies beneath the obstacle in Jocelyn's way. That desire has been eroded and needs attention, and possibly a different format. What is the behavior signaling? Apathy and anger, seen on the surface, are Jocelyn's defense strategies protecting deeper feelings of frustration and fear. She will refuse to do homework, scream names at her mother, have an all-out tantrum, or rip up assignment papers. "She won't take the time to think anything through," Harriet complained, "and when she hits that wall of intolerance, there is no way to get her back on track." Her behaviors are distressing, but signal a deeper problem than anger and apathy. Jocelyn is not lazy or a failure. She's hurting inside. Threats of bad grades or missing recess mean nothing to her because in her mind she's already a failure, so she says she doesn't care. She feels more in control of that. Harriet takes her at her word. Childology, outlined in Chapter 2, tells it differently. Knowing that words are not always meant but intended to get or deflect attention, Jocelyn's "I don't care" might be interpreted as, "Nobody cares about me because I'm stupid." She successfully deflects her shame over feelings of inadequacy and saves face with indifference and haughtiness. Is acceptance unconditional? Harriet couldn't get enough of academia. It's hard for her to understand another attitude. She thinks that if only Jocelyn worked harder, she would learn to enjoy it too. But Jocelyn is a different kind of thinker. School is her nemesis. Getting homework over with as quickly as possible, wrong answers and all, is her agenda. Successful students use grades as motivators, but unsuccessful students live in a mindset that Dr. Martin Seligman, professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, calls learned helplessness. No matter how much time and effort they spend, they know they can't succeed. Nagging critical parents unintentionally feed into this mindset, sending messages that their children are lazy and don't measure up. Jocelyn fell into a state of learned helplessness when learning delays placed her behind her peers. Catching up did not erase that mindset. Horses are Jocelyn's love and lifeline. Unfortunately, Harriet has used them to motivate, taking away riding privileges if homework is not finished. Withholding Jocelyn's main source of self-confidence and competence pulled the rug out from underneath her and increased her obstacle. Are expectations set for success or failure? Harriet assumed that her daughter would be the academic star that both she and her older sons had been. The only one in her family to attend college, let alone accomplish a master's degree, Harriet views education as the road to independence and set high academic standards on all her children. Being a single mother and a high achiever, Harriet is out to prove that it can be done. Jocelyn's learning delays initially posed a threat to Harriet's goals. Harriet fought hard to get services in place, worked overtime with Jocelyn at home, and told her daughter daily that she could do it. Harriet's best intentions got Jocelyn caught up, but prevented her from seeing her daughter's real needs. Her expectations were set appropriately for her sons, but not for Jocelyn, who knew she could never be the student her mother wanted. Is connection being made? Harriet assumed that spending time with her daughter and helping with homework was the connection she needed. But whenever she focused on what Jocelyn was doing wrong, the connection was broken. The more Harriet strived to help, the more Jocelyn felt nagged and inadequate. Once Harriet understood how her expectations were being received, she pulled back and began hunting for roots. Even though she no longer saw Jocelyn's early delay as a problem, she now appreciates that Jocelyn experienced feeling dumb for a long time, something she still calls herself. She also calls her mother stupid, a projection of her own feelings, when Harriet tells her how to do her homework. Using connective communication, Chapter 5, Harriet can acknowledge how hard it must be living in the shadow of her academic brothers and mother. I wonder if you feel that no one in this family gets you and what you want is a good guess and would likely initiate the release of some anger and frustration. Once Harriet can stop feeling responsible for Jocelyn's homework, she will be able to genuinely empathize with her and talk about how she learns differently, not poorly. But Harriet must connect with the daughter she has, not the daughter she wishes for. What qualities need focus in order to grow? If Harriet can focus on the islands of Jocelyn's competence and let up on homework, at least temporarily, the mirror Jocelyn looks into will change. Harriet began by reminding herself that Jocelyn's homework problems do not make her a less capable person. It simply means she hates homework. Since she's good at reading and spelling, Harriet can build on those strengths, thus building her confidence by asking her to write grocery lists, read labels, compare prices, and advise her mother about Best Buys. She can put more attention on Jocelyn's writing skills, ask more about her riding practices, look to her as the horse expert, choose books about horses and read them together. Comments like, "I really admire your love of animals. You seem to have a real connection with that horse," can go a long way in confidence building. How can the problem be solved without punishment? But Jocelyn still needs to do homework. What's left if I can't withhold something she cares about? Indicates that Harriet still sees Jocelyn's behavior as a problem to be punished. In his groundbreaking book, The Homework Myth, How Our Children Are Getting Too Much of a Bad Thing, Alfie Kohn argues that homework actually undermines and inhibits a child's innate desire to learn. Certainly true of children like Jocelyn. Changes in school's homework expectations will be a long time coming, but this understanding can help shift Harriet's thinking and perhaps reduce the anxiety that fuels the homework situation. Jocelyn needs to feel more in control. Harriet found that by asking her to choose the best time for homework, together with words like, "What do you need in order to..." worked well most of the time. Jocelyn decided to get homework over with right after school. Even though she was tired and didn't focus well, Harriet let go of Jocelyn doing her best in favor of at least doing it, for now. Taking breaks didn't work for Jocelyn, since she resisted stretching the time out any longer than she had to. Instead, Harriet imposed breaks by telling her to keep working while she fixed them each a cup of tea with biscuits. There was less screaming and name-calling when Harriet stopped punishing, threatening, or taking away privileges. She also ignored complaints, grumblings, and pounding of fists, and responded only to name-calling. "Don't you dare talk to me like that," changed to, "I'm not stupid, and neither are you. I won't let anyone call me that, and I hope you won't either. You just don't like homework. That's understandable." Period. Harriet needed to trust that once Jocelyn's obstacle was attended to, natural consequences would help the process. When Jocelyn put off her hardest assignment to the last possible evening and then complained she wouldn't have time to do it all, Harriet said calmly, while biting her tongue, "You can either do it now before bed, in the morning, or not at all. It's your choice." Jocelyn raised her eyebrows. "But if it's unfinished or not done, it still needs to be included in your folder." When bedtime came, Jocelyn decided she would do it in the morning. Morning came, and she haphazardly filled in a couple of the problems. She was angry about the whole thing, but included the unfinished sheets. Harriet took Jocelyn's anger as a good sign, better than indifference. She had to let go and trust that when she handed over responsibility, the consequences would eventually have an effect. When Jocelyn got an incomplete, Harriet asked, "What's your plan now?" After more grumbling, Jocelyn said, I'll do the hardest parts first." The responsibility really shifted when Jocelyn and Harriet designed a self-evaluation to accompany each assignment. Her teacher had come up with the idea, but suggested a check plus or minus system for Harriet to score Jocelyn's work. It only fueled their battles. It kept Harriet in control, and whenever she awarded a check minus, it felt like a punishment. But reworking the main idea and handing the process over to Jocelyn, they got far better results. Jocelyn's evaluation. She circled 1 for not at all and 5 for very much on a 1-5 scale after the following 4 statements. I learned from doing this assignment. Score 1-5. This assignment was interesting to me. 1-5. I gave this assignment my full attention. 1-5. I did my best on this assignment. 1-5. When children evaluate their own strengths and weaknesses, they become problem solvers. But they must learn from their own mistakes in order to take responsibility for their work. So Harriet had to stay out of Jocelyn's evaluation. For the first week, Jocelyn circled only 1s, meaning not at all, before putting real thought to it. Any shift to a 2 was encouraging, and after a while a few 3s got circled. Ideas to encourage homework initiative. Allow your child to determine her regular homework time and place. Decide together on a reminder word you can use. Give it once. Be nearby and available for help during designated homework times. Offer tea or some other comfort during homework time. Require homework to be done during designated times. If it's not, it's handed in unfinished. Allow griping and anger without changing the rules. Allow the school to handle consequences. Never watch television or play games during homework time, pay bills or do chores, etc. Talk about assignments, discuss subjects, and be involved, but don't correct unless your child wants you to. Write up a homework contract if necessary. Are strong boundaries keeping good balance? Harriet was beginning to experience the relief of letting go and turning over the homework responsibility to Jocelyn. The more she relaxed, the more Jocelyn relaxed. Letting go of possible school failure was a tough call, but it made it easier for Harriet to be a help, not a hindrance. The hard part was allowing and surviving the meltdowns and frustration without taking them personally. Much as she hated it, Jocelyn had grown dependent on her mother for getting her work done. She knew her mother would make her do it, but when she couldn't make it all right, Jocelyn grew belligerent, learned helplessness. Finally, she began to depend on herself.